McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to the show, and I'm thrilled to be joined by none other than Margaret O'Connor, an incredible Irish artist, designer, milliner, and DJ hailing from County Clare. Margaret's word, or work, should I say, is known for blending traditional Irish culture with modern cutting edge designs. And she dressed some of the world's most famous stars, including Lady Gaga, Kate Moss, and is famous for her quirky necklaces featuring Irish slang words like notions and culchi. Margaret is also venturing into costume design for film and making waves in the fashion industry with her pop-up shops and festival showcases. So let's pop in there and let's have a listen about those iconic creations. She joins me on the line. Margaret, good evening to you. How are you?
Hello, good evening. How are things?
Lovely to talk to you, Margaret. It's a pleasure.
And, thanks for having me.
Yeah, you must be surprised by your... Are you ever surprised by your own fame and your own success, by the way?
I think you're only as good as your last piece of work.
I always say that about radio too, by the way. You're only as good as your last show. If it's bad, you're out.
if you're an artist and you're coming from an art background and you always want to do the... You're kind of competing with yourself, I think, as an artist. So I don't know. I think you're always, if you're like an artist who's stuck for ideas, maybe you would, I don't know. I think the mind is too busy to think about anything else, only the next project.
And do you get brain freeze? Because I get brain freeze, right? Because I'm working with my mind all the time. I do a podcast during the day. I do the radio show at nights. That's 5 hours talking, 5 hours listening to people or interviewing people. And there's moments where your brain stops working and you're going, what am I going to do tomorrow? I've no idea. So do you ever sit there, with a piece of work and not know what to do with it?
No, but I think the difference between my job and your job is that you're using your voice and your knowledge as a tool constantly, kind of like if you're a teacher. The energy is going through, communicating with other people. If I'm in a studio on my own making stuff, I don't have to engage with anyone else. So I can understand why you get brain freeze, but me personally, if I'm working in a studio on my own and if I purposely turn off the phone and I don't have any interruptions, I don't get a brain freeze. But I can see why you would, because of the fact
all the that distractions.
All of the energy, the vampire energy, has been taken from you. So I can understand why you would, but I think that's not something that would happen.
Okay. I mean, you've worked, I mentioned the start there with Lady Gaga, Kate Moss. So, how did your creations end up, with such high profile figures? And is there any others, by the way, that we're not aware of?
Well, I'm always creating stuff all the time for loads of different artists. So, it's not just the big names, it's the real people. It's that constant flow of different people who like to wear my stuff. I'm always making something or doing something for someone. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of think one person, just because someone is each person is as important as the next one. It doesn't matter who they are or what they are, just as long as they're going to style your stuff in a way that makes them happy. As in, if I was making something for my mother or my sister, it's just as important as making something for someone who happens to be a celebrity.
But it does, I suppose it does help your brand too, because I remember a mate of mine rings.
That's PR, but the real champion of artists and designers is if the normal person buys your stuff and then they tell a word of mouth, and that I think that is more valuable than the actual celebrities wearing your stuff.
I mean,
because my necklaces are worn by everyday people and they're accessible to everyone and they're a good price point for everyone and people connect with them and they are my best seller, And I think that's for the everyday person. And then if the people who want my headpieces can't afford the fancy headpieces, but then they go, actually, I'll buy a necklace, or I'll buy something else like a wallet, or they'll have, it's like, Vivienne Westwood or Alexander McQueen or any big household fashion brand, you might want a little bit, you know, people might buy a neck brace or they might buy a t-shirt or something. They want a little bit of something. You know, sometimes they just want to be associated with the brand. Like, you know, Alexander McQueen would have done the crazy runway shows and mad art pieces. I make crazy art pieces for music videos and for conceptual art projects and things. And some of my, you know, customers are artists themselves and they go, oh, I'd like a piece of that. And they try to buy into something small that might connect in a different, you know, in a different way, but still having part of and supporting small artists and the brands. And, you know, the people like that are keeping me afloat and keeping me in business, you know. And if it wasn't for the people of Ireland supporting Irish artists, you know, we wouldn't. Like, a lot of our talent leaves the country and goes to England or goes to the UK because it's hard to make it as a designer.
Well, we don't really support them. I mean, it's only recently that we brought in a payment to support artists. That's only in the last couple of years. So we don't really support artists very well in this country. By the way, when you decided this is what you want to do.
I mean supporting artists, like, I mean, you're talking about the government.
I know,
I'm on about the people.
Oh, no, I know what you mean. About the people. But somebody, we have to start somewhere. You know, you're skin to the start when you start out first. Like, and I suppose, you know, you rely on the government to try and help you along the way. Otherwise, you're going to give in very quickly. But when you went to be an artist, or you wanted to be an artist at the very start, I mean, were your family kind of supportive of it? I mean, how did that go down? Because I remember I wanted to be a DJ and my dad didn't agree. He said, get a 9-to-5 job.
My parents are farmers, and my mother would have wanted me to be a nurse, and my, you know, they would have wanted me to have a real normal job.
A real job.
Yeah.
That's what my dad said.
Yeah, but like, I kind of didn't have the academia to, you know, I don't feel like I had the skills in any other way. And when I went for a career advisor, they all just were like, oh, well, you know, you're an artist. You probably should study art. But I was naive into thinking that I just did something because I loved it. I never thought, oh, I'm going to be broke for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. But my parents told me that. But I didn't listen. I did it anyways because I just wanted to be happy. So it was just, it wasn't really a choice. It was a vocation. It was kind of like, oh, well, I've no other options. What else can I do? I'm not good at anything else. And I was a barwoman for 14, 15 years and worked in restaurants. I used to do double jobs when I was in London. I would be working for big designers and then also working as a waitress and as a bar person. So
to pay
the
bills.
Put myself on to pay the bills, and I always had to. That's why I think I'm good with people, because I was, you know, I was in the bar industry, in the restaurants and hotels, so I know what it's like to be on that side of things. But yeah, I suppose, like, I wouldn't encourage if I had a daughter or a son, I wouldn't encourage them to go into the arts because too hard. I think the reason why I'm here is because I was naive to think that I was just, I can't really give up now. And most of my friends in college, they all have left. I think there's one or two of us that are artists.
Yeah, ironically enough, the arts in college has the highest dropout rate, which is not surprising, by the way. You kind of moved from there back, you made the shift back to County Clare again. And I'm kind of curious how kind of rural Ireland and that upbringing kind of influenced your work. Now, I know you have some of your designs called the Culchi, for example. But how does living, you know, back in the Burren again, how does that kind of influence your designs, or does it influence your designs?
I think I create better. I think I'm a better artist in rural Ireland because I've no distractions. And I do a taste because I DJ and I'm into my music, and I lived in London for 8 years. I like the culture, and I like the, you know, I like going to plays. I like to go and see movies. I'm interested in the arts. And yeah, I suppose going to the Burren in the middle of nowhere where I come from, and coming from a farming background, the isolation, the boredom, the quietness gives you more space to actually design and create.
Right.
So you're coming, I kind of feel like, if I came from a different upbringing, I probably mightn't be the artist I am, because I didn't have any art in my life growing up. So because of that, I think it made me more artistic, because I had the Burren and I had the farm and I had the basics, which, you know, a lot of amazing artists come from the 80s when they don't have any money, when people were broke you know, people, or music as well, people were forced to create stuff because they were limited. And I suppose if you're not around art all the time, if, you know, if you have a, if you have a, like a famous artist mother or a famous designer father, you might have a lot more, you know, you could be a different person. You could excel, but also you can fall flat on your feet as well, because people compare you to your parents if you're that good, you know. Or, you know, if I had a really successful designer parents, then you know, you have to be as good as them. Sometimes people can step up and, you know, deliver with that, like Simone Roche has done. She's an amazing designer, and her mm-hmm. father was an amazing designer, but not everyone is lucky to have that access to information and to the arts.
So, I mean, you started out as a milliner, for those who don't know, as a hat maker, making
well,
hats.
Well, I studied textiles.
Philip Tracy, wasn't it? You studied with Philip Tracy. He's one of the most renowned milliners.
I studied in Kensington, Chelsea. I worked with a few different milliners, but I'm an accessory designer. So, like, I did a degree in textiles where I would have learned all the different things in GMIT. And, like, I worked for big people in London, and then I decided then I would come and set up my own shop and do my own thing, which was amazing. And like I went and did Guangzhou Fashion Week with my friend Derek, and we did Jakarta Fashion Week, and you know, I have seen interesting things in the fashion world, but it's nice to come back home to Clare and make stuff and still continue with my brand. It's still going strong. I started off in 2014 and still making things, and it's lives for a happy life.
Yeah, I mean, of course, fascinators are a big thing. Women buy them, of course, for weddings. I'm sure that's the kind of thing you do as well. And I'm looking at the one that Lady Gaga is wearing here, by the way. Massive big thing. Is that Lady Gaga? It is. It does look like Lady Gaga.
That's a long time ago now. I've met.
It's huge.
That was a long time ago. I've made some new things. Since then, Blondie wore my hat last year, and I made did a cool short. A costume design for a short film. Like, I suppose I look at my old work and I think, oh God, that's such a long time ago, you know. I'm always thinking of the new project and the new thing that I'm doing rather than the past, I suppose.
Yeah, Martin has texted in. He says, Niall, can you please ask Margaret, as a milliner, does she design hats for men? In my opinion, as a regular Federer wearer, in the West, men's hats fell out of fashion. If I'm wearing a dress suit, and particularly a trench coat, I don't feel dressed without my my Federer. Is it Federer? Is that how you pronounce it?
Fedora.
Okay.
Well, the hat is making a comeback. Like the large hats for Ascot now, people, they're wearing the bigger hats rather than the fascinators were big in the 2000s. So that now they have a new rule in a few years ago where you have to have a hat a certain centimeters in length. But the men's hat, like there's a few different men's specialized, like in London, there's like, Lock and something. I'm trying to think of the name of them. But there's like the hats for the men are like, they're different hat blocks, and they're way bigger than the hats for the women. So the men hats itself, like you could have like solely just make hats for men.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different sizes in the men's heads compared to the women's. The women's are easier to make for. The men's are harder to make for.
Okay, you're a kind of one-woman business, which involves kind of both your creativity and entrepreneurship. So is it kind of hard to manage the two, you know, balance the books, keep the accounts, keep everything going, promote yourself, do the PR, and come on the radio, and also then create works of art at the same time?
Yeah, it's hard, actually. I do everything myself. So I go down to the post office and post all the orders. I have to design the next products, the new, you know, every time I do a new collection, I then have to promote it. But accidentally being a PR woman is hard. Like, it is tough going, and I have to, thank God I have an accountant who sorts out all my, you know, I just have to have the books for him, and he does
that.
Yeah,
you just give him the receipts and the bank statements.
Yeah. But like, it's not easy if you come from, like, if you're an artist, having to learn that. I had a shop in Ennis for 4 years, and that was good because that gave me structure. And I love having I like working 10 to 6 Monday to Friday. I quite like the structural day because I'm so creative. I love the bit of discipline. you know, and then I have the weekends to myself.
I mean, your pieces are kind of known to have a sense of drama, maybe a bit of boldness, cheekiness too, by the way. I'm just looking at some of your necklaces here with the word ride on it, culchy, notion. So there's a bit of cheekiness involved in them as well. Where does that kind of sense of flair come from?
I'm one of eight, and we're always like, if you're, you know, when we were younger, I suppose I have five brothers and two sisters. There was always wit and sarcasm. And like, I did a hat for an art exhibition. There's a paint company called Creator Paints. And they said, oh, would you like to have a paint? And I said, yes, I only want the Showstopper Blue, which is this electric blue paint. So they asked, like, I think they asked like 48 Irish designers to have their own color. So everyone, they had an exhibition on in Dublin, and everyone had to make a piece of art. And I made a hat, and on it, it was in Showstopper Blue, the electric blue. And then I had a neon pink saying, Shy Baby's Get No Sweets. Because every other hat, like every other piece, was more conservative. And I suppose I think I'm probably a bit of a punk. And I do have a bit of tongue-in-cheek. Like, my father, when I came home from London, he was like, who do you think you are? I had a fake fur coat on. I came in from Shannon. He was like, oh, my God, who do you think you are? Back home to the farm. Yeah.
And I go back to the burn with your fake fur coat on you. Yeah.
Like, one day I remember I was at home and I was waiting on people to arrive. And these knee-high, like, gorgeous, like, they were like, class, they were like zebra boots arrived, and then my mother was like, you're supposed to be standing in the road. I had to run out in my boots and stand in the gap while the cars were coming up the road, and my neighbors were laughing their heads off because they were in the car watching me in these knee-high boots. But I suppose the tongue-in-cheek, like, my father inspired me to do a whole range of notions, because I suppose it came from spite, maybe. I was like, I'll show you. And then I did the wallets and the necklaces. And then it kind of led, I suppose, I don't know, confronting things that make people uncomfortable. Or sometimes I think people, like, the word ride is, back in my day, when I was in the 90s.
We all know what it is, Margaret.
Well, no, it's I'm a 90s kid. And my father is older, and he thinks it was more provocative.
Yeah, like, but did you get the ride? Like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, in my era, it was more like, someone's really hot.
Oh, okay, like, okay. Oh, well, yeah, we would have said that too. Yeah, she's a bit of a ride. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So like, my friends, like, even when we see each other, so then when I released the necklace, now they weren't too impressed. But like, then when I was living in Dublin, everyone was calling me a culchy, so then I released a culchy necklace. And then I suppose there's a bit of divilment, so I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. You got Chancer, you've got Power, Wildcard, Ride, Notion, Culchy.
Yeah, things that connect to my brand. I worked with someone who wasn't very nice to me, so I did a range where I was like, in a world full of Chancers, be sound, you know, so... Like, I suppose be careful what you do. Don't mess with me, because I might turn into a piece of art.
Yeah, there's a real Dublin one there, by the way. Deadly. That's a real Dublin one. By the way, here's a question for you. Do people copy your work? I'm assuming there's counterfeits of your work out there, you know, where people
say... There was an incident with some ladies this year when I was on my first holiday. I had been away... I'd been working really hard for the last 10 years, and it was my first holiday in 10 years, and I was in Australia, and somebody copied my work, and I was away for 4 months, and it ruined my holiday. And like, they stopped, they haven't sold the pieces, and I had to deal with it. But it was like, that's the thing about if you work for yourself. And
there's always that risk that when you become popular, somebody's going to copy your work.
Yeah. There's, and like, I have had hat collection, being copied before as well. So like, it is a thing. But some people are, you know, they don't have any conscience, and they don't realize how
it's stealing. It's theft, isn't it? Really, it is.
Yeah, they don't realize how hard it is to make it as an artist, and they think they can just swan in. You know, it's people who normally lack ideas and their own creativity, you know.
Because that's the hardest part of your job, is the creativity. It's the part of thinking about how it's going to look, you know, and will it look good? And it's not, I suppose the physicality of it is difficult too, mind you, but it is
the creative. You always have to be making new things. You always have to be like I'm always making new things. Like I'm doing like lampshades, cushions, tea cozies at the moment. Like I'm constantly moving. Like it's very
What's your favorite thing to do, by the way, out of all the things that you've made over the years? What's the one you kind of love doing?
I love seeing my work, the avant-garde stuff, when it's on film.
Oh, okay.
So,
and you're moving more into that now, aren't you? You're trying to push more into that.
I want to make my own film. I want to direct, and I want to make the costumes, and I want to have our control.
Well, like a period piece or something like that, or?
No, it won't be period. It'll probably be something from my mind. it would be haute couture, avant-garde, you know. It would be delving into the really obscure art side of fashion and having the film space, the window to show people what haute couture and crazy, weird fashion is. Not that it's a thing that you should, buy, but something that you can appreciate for art purposes. Like if you watch cool music videos or film, they always have, if there's fantasy or if there's something that's just totally crazy, they sometimes have these really elaborate fashion things, and I'm itching to create something like that.
Now, I know you've kind of won several awards as well, but it's always nice, by the way. I've got a few of them myself for radio, so they're always nice to get, an applause from some other country in the world. You won the Global Original Fashion Design Award in China. How did that come about, by the way, in China?
That was amazing, actually. We went, the British Arts Council brought us over to Guangzhou. And then we did, me and Derek Lawler, we did a collaboration together. I did all the headwear and we won an award for innovation. And then it was amazing. And then because we won that award, then the British Arts Council brought us to Jakarta and we did Jakarta Fashion Week, which was amazing because it coincided with a British music festival. Mm. So they just absolutely looked after us and we got to have a big runway show, and it was one of these things. It was very funny because I was sending fashion videos to my family group app, and my brother was sending like lambs and calves being born in the springtime. So it was very funny, like it's the fashion word is exciting, but like it's so funny, like, you know, it's when you come from the countryside, my father is like, who's Lady Gaga or who's Blondie, you know, my father and mother probably.
Yeah, and really, by the way, how does a culture fit in, by the way, to international audience? How do they respond to your kind of culture influenced work? I mean, do they respond well to it internationally, obviously?
Well, I suppose, like, if you look at there's always working class people in all of the industries, because like if you look at there's so many. Look at Alexander McQueen and, like, you know, these people who are just normal people who just want to make things, like, and it doesn't really matter. I think some people are surprised by my culture accent. Mm. I remember...
You don't really have a culture accent. It's not strong.
You don't think so? No.
I can detect it. I can tell you're from Clare,
but I wouldn't say it's... Maybe because I was in London for 8 years.
By the way, just finally, I've only got a minute and a half left. Now, I had to ask you this question because music clearly plays a big role in your life. But you're a DJ as well. Are you trying to rob me job here? You're a DJ as well. So what got you into DJing?
I had a show with DDR called Working With Music, and I had it for about a year and a half. I think I'm actually going back doing it. I'm a music nerd. If I didn't have music, I wouldn't create anything. I have to have music in the studio nonstop. And I just always, it puts me into mid-flow.
And have you done any nightclubs? Have you done any nightclubs or big gigs?
I did Electric Picnic last year.
Did
Another Love Story. I also had, like, at Another Love Story, I had, 12 models wearing all my stuff, and it was in the front cover of the Hot Press when they took the photographs of all my models, and I had like a fashion video behind me while I was DJing.
So you were like wicka wicka on the decks, wicka 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 wicka.
Yeah, well, I'm more of a selector. I play like Italian disco, African beats. Maybe a bit of trad just for clearness, but kind of eclectic. But I would be more left of field. And I love the classics as well.
Well, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. If people want to have a look at more of your designs, or they want to buy anything, or they want to have a look at your designs, you can go to your website. I'm assuming it's margaretoconnor.ie, is it? Sorry, because I don't have
it. It is, yeah, yeah. And at the moment, I have a pop-up shop in the Designist in Dublin, in the town, in the city, in right in George Street. And yeah, and my website is www.margaretoconnor.ie.
And where, yeah, where's the pop-up shop in George Street? Whereabouts in the arcade there, is it?
It's just opposite the arcade. It's called the Designist.
Okay, okay. All right, okay. Well, look, okay, best luck. And by the way, no, you're so welcome, by the way. We're looking forward to any up-and-coming projects that you're involved in. And well done to you, by the way. It's always good to have the Irish flag flying in the fashion world. And long may it remain there with you and many others like you, Margaret. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and we appreciate it.
Okay, toga boogie.
Bye. There you go, Margaret O'Connor. And you can see all her fashion designs, by the way, on her website, margaretoconnor.ie. Or go to her pop-up shop opposite the arcade there in George's Street. I'm looking at some of her work here. Some of it's very funny, actually, in fairness. Deadly. Imagine. These are like written on the necklaces. Culchi and ride. Ride is just a great Irish word, isn't it? Back, you don't really hear it as much nowadays. Back in the 80s, she's right. You know, if you saw a good-looking girl, a nice-looking girl, yeah, Jesus, she's a ride, isn't she? You don't really hear that anymore. People think that's some sort of insult, or we've gone all sensitive, haven't we? Oh, no, you can't say that. That's the sexual connotations to it. Oh, would you stop? It was just funny. God, she's a ride. Or he's a ride. You know what I mean? I mean, girls and guys said those kind of things in those days. It was just the done thing. You know what I mean? It's not a big deal. You know what I mean? But nowadays, oh no, you can't say that. This kind of sexual thing. It's a sex, you know, it means something more than that now. No, it doesn't mean any more than that. That's all it means. It just means that you find something.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.